Well, let's open our Bibles to Acts chapter number 16. Acts chapter number 16, we'll look in verse number 6. Paul is on his second missionary journey, and he's going to previous places to confirm, to strengthen, to encourage the places where they've already been, where they've preached God's word, and people have gotten saved, churches have been established, and they are wanting to strengthen and encourage these new believers. Of course, you know that Barnabas and Paul, Barnabas went one way, took Mark, and Paul took Silas. And so here, Paul and Silas went out on this second missionary journey, and then they picked up Timothy there in Derbe and Lystra, and they're in chapter 16, verse number 1. And here in our text, they come down to Troas, and they pick up another man. Who is that? Do you know? Doesn't say the name here. I'll give you a hint. He's the writer of the Acts of the Apostles. Dr. Luke. That's right. Luke is, he joined the company here. We noticed the change from the third person to the first person plural in verse number 8 to verse number 9 and 10. Well, verse 10, really, we endeavored there. We see that Luke joined their company. And so the second thing that they're doing is they want to go to new and unreached places. And all of these places were, I mean, this was the first time the gospel had reached these places. I mean, this was like everywhere they went, it was like a pioneer work. The gospel was just going out at this time. So let's, if you will, stand with me, if you're able to stand, and we'll read from verse number 6 to verse number 9. Verse number 6 through verse number 9. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would, Lord, just be with my mouth and help me to speak as I to speak. I pray for your filling. I pray that you would open our hearts tonight and that you would just work in our hearts. Help us to have a greater passion, a greater desire to follow you and to witness to those around us. And we ask that you would help this church and bless them. We thank you for their missions emphasis. We pray that you would help them to grow in that passion, that burden for missions. And Lord, use them and bless them. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. Three things to learn. Three things that I think we all need to learn, and hopefully we are learning to be a better witness for Jesus Christ. There are more, obviously, but just want to look at basically three here in these verses and continuing on down into verse number 15. Number one is, How can I be a better witness for Christ? Number one is to love people. We got to learn to love people. I want you to notice here in verse number 6, verse number 7, that, and verse number 8, that there's the names of these places. And it's almost as if Luke is recording these, you know, place names. But something that I thought about the other day, I'd never thought about before, was comparing Paul's vision in verse number 10 with verses 6 through 8. And you look and he has the desire to preach God's word. We see that. He has a desire to go to these places. We see that. But then look what God revealed to him in this vision. It wasn't a place, was it? Look what it says in verse number 10. He says, verse number 9. I'm sorry, verse number 9. There stood a man. There stood a man of Macedonia. Somehow, Paul knew what this man looked like, and he knew that he was a Macedonian. I don't know how that looked. This wasn't a Jewish man, likely. This was a Gentile. And this man Paul saw said, he spoke, and he said, come over into Macedonia and help us. Help us. And look what it says in verse number 6. It says that they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. They wanted to preach the word in Asia. But then look at verse number 10. It says that after they had, after Paul had spoke of the vision that he had seen, and they spoke about this, it says that they assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them, a people. And I tell you what, if we want to be effective in our ministry of the gospel and effective in the carrying out of the Great Commission of Christ, we need to learn to love people. You know, the Apostle Paul had a strategy, and I'm not saying that it was a wrong strategy. It was a great strategy. It was something that God put in his heart to do, and that was to go to these larger cities. If you study the ministry of Christ, the Lord Jesus, he stayed in the villages, but Paul visited the big cities. He had a great desire to go to Rome, which was like the capital of the whole world. And so there's nothing wrong with that. That was wonderful. And I'm not saying Paul didn't love, that he didn't love people. That's not what I'm saying. It's just he had a desire to preach the gospel of Christ wherever he went. But here it's like the Lord reminds him, there's a people that needs you. There's a people that are crying out and saying, come over and help us. How much do we love people? How much do it's so easy, Pastor, to get in the habit of giving out tracts and shaking hands and just, you know, going through the motions as a missionary or as a pastor, but how much do we love the people that we're ministering to? You know, the Lord has called you also at church into this ministry. It's not just your pastor's job. It's your job. It's your responsibility to carry out the Great Commission. And so as a local church, we have to ask ourselves, how much has God given us, or how much love that do we have in our hearts, the love of Christ do we have in our hearts to love these people with? I need the love of Christ. And if you're like me, And we're all sinners, right? Anybody not a sinner? Okay, we're all, I think pretty much we can all agree, we're all sinners. We have deceitful hearts. We have this flesh. And you know what? We all need to remember where God has brought us from. We all need to remember that we were also lost in sins. Sister Palmer just gave to me a short bit of her testimony of how she was saved as a young lady, but didn't understand much about it because she grew up in the Roman Catholic Church. Is that right? And you know what? Somehow someone told her the gospel of Christ, and that stuck with her. The Lord changed her heart at that time. She never lost that. And that these folks that gave their testimony on our video, someone cared enough to invite them to church. Someone cared enough to tell them about Jesus Christ because they loved him. And you and I can't love people without God's love. Amen? The Apostle Paul, the greatest motivation that he spoke about of doing what he was doing was the love of Christ. He said, the love of Christ constraineth us. It puts us in a narrow place so that we cannot do anything else but preach the gospel of Christ. If you're anything like me, you just want to get from point A to point B, and you don't want people bothering you. Amen? Do I have a witness? I don't want weirdos bothering me. Okay? I tell you what, I'm not going to get into all this stuff about COVID and the politics and all of that, you know, Facebook and all that, but I can tell you that we're becoming a less and less social people. Where we used to, you could just walk up and sit on your neighbor's porch, and then they'd come out with a glass of lemonade, and you'd sit there and talk and have a good time together, and you could talk about whatever. Now, people don't want you to knock on their door. They don't want you to bother them. So how are we going to minister to a people like that? It's only through Christ's love. We must learn to love them. Learn to love them. Why didn't God allow Paul at this time to go into Asia? I don't know. Why didn't he get to go into Bithynia at this time? The Holy Spirit would not allow him to go, suffered him not. I don't know. But what I can tell you is God loves sinners. And he put that love in the Apostle Paul's heart to go to Macedonia and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the people of Macedonia. And God did a great work there. It could be, you know, I always, why he was forbidden to preach the word in Asia, he eventually was able to go into Asia and preach the word there. Could it have been that the Apostle Paul was not ready to go? Now, I've always thought of it this way, that they were not ready to hear. But it could have been that the Apostle Paul was not ready to go to them. Maybe he needed to grow. Maybe he needed to learn. I mean, he was just a man. He needed to grow as well. So, you know, we need to learn to love people. And number two, we need to learn to be flexible. Need to learn to be flexible. If you're going to see a harvest of souls, if you're going to be a good witness for Jesus Christ, you need to learn to be flexible. They teach us, you know, number one trait of a missionary, flexibility. And I tell you what, we get flexed here and flexed there. We're getting pushed in this area, pushed in that area. And it's the Lord, once we get comfortable and we feel like, you know, we've got this thing, then the Lord pushes us out of that comfort zone and puts us in another situation where we just have to get on our knees and beg for God's help. You know, it's not about us. It really isn't about us, and it's not about you. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's for His glory. And the moment that you get comfortable and you think you've got it all together, that's the moment that trouble is coming, because you're not depending on the Lord. You're depending on what your comfort zone and your circumstances. And you know what? When God shakes those circumstances up, you realize how your dependence needs to be upon Him, right? You know, we see that here. What did the Apostle Paul do? God, he had a desire to go preach the word in Asia. God said no. What did the apostle do? He changed his direction. He said, okay. He adjusted. And then he wanted to go into Bithynia. God said, no. What did he do? he adjusted. And so when he figured out this is where the Lord wants us to go, into Macedonia, and they end up going into Philippi. And what was his normal custom? Was to go into the synagogue and preach the gospel to the Jews. Guess what? There wasn't a synagogue. What did the apostle do? He adjusted. And somebody says, hey, I think there's a place of prayer outside the city where you could go down and do whatever your religious thing is down there. And so Apostle Paul went down there. And I just wonder, Pastor, if he wasn't looking for that man that he saw in his vision. And he got down to the riverside, and guess what? There was just women there. What did the Apostle Paul do? He adjusted. And he gave them the gospel. And God saved Lydia. By the way, who was Lydia? Where was she from? You remember? Verse number 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira. Where was Thyatira? It was in Asia. Asia, not speaking of Asia, our Asia, but Asia is in the sense of there was a province of in the Roman government and Roman kingdom, and present-day Turkey was Asia. And she was from that place. And I just wonder if the Lord didn't have him go to this specific place and to meet that specific woman, and she was got saved, and we see that what she did constrained them to come into her own house. If the Lord didn't use that woman to help the Apostle Paul and equip him so that he could go into Asia and he could preach the gospel there, I don't know. But the Lord works in ways that we don't understand. And, you know, it's so interesting. When things happen to me, when things disappoint me and I don't get my way, then I just have my own pity party and I get so frustrated. But what I don't see is that God is not just working in my life and in my world. He's working all over the world and in other lives. And he's putting us in places where he wants us at specific times. And he's going to cross our paths with someone else. And just at the right time, we'll be able to witness to somebody, or we'll be able to encourage somebody. Are we flexible? Are we willing to trust the Lord? We need to learn to be flexible, especially during the... And I'm not talking about compromising doctrine. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we need to be flexible and compromise the Word of God. I'm talking about, we all have ideas. We all have dreams, and we all have opinions, and we all have expectations, and sometimes we don't get what we want, right? We've got to learn to be flexible. And COVID has taught us a lot about that, hasn't it? It really has. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church of Philippi later on. He says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. What was he saying? Wherever the Lord wants me to go, whatever he wants me to do, I'm going to trust him. I've learned to be content. I have learned. Do you notice that? I have learned. You've got to learn how to do that. We've got to learn how to do this. Number three, we need to learn how to wait on God to open hearts. Learn to wait on the Lord to open the hearts. Look at verse number 14 again with me. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord opened her heart. And she was there, and she was hearing, And then God opened her heart. And then it says, she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. In other words, it was on. She was listening. It changed her life. God has to do that. Amen? The Lord has to do that. And it may happen quickly. You may be right there at the right time. Someone's already planted the seed. Someone's already worked and watered that seed. And God is the one who gives the increase. And God gives the increase right when you come. And you know what? You may just be the one who plants the seed. And you never see. You never know. Maybe you just give someone a gospel tract and years later they get saved and you never hear about it. You never know it, but you'll know one day. Wait for God to open the hearts. It's the Lord's work. They must hear and understand first. Amen? And we know what happened in Philippi. They were not treated well. When he wrote to the Thessalonian church, he says, we were shamefully treated. The situation with the damsel with the spirit of divination, and he rebuked that spirit. It came out of that damsel, and the owners of that slave got angry because they saw that the hope of gain was lost. And then they grabbed Paul and Silas, drugged them before the magistrates, and they said, these Jews are, they're teaching the wrong thing and all of that. And the magistrates rent their clothes, got angry, and commanded them to be beaten. They were beaten openly before all the people. I mean, it was a very shameful situation. Okay, this is not in the Bible. This is in the book of Jason, which is up here, okay? I just wonder if, after being beaten and shamed and, Paul and Silas being chained and probably, bleeding everywhere, and they're being brought into the inner chamber, and you could just imagine that jailer, when he had received such a command, he thrust them in the inner chamber, literally thrust them in. I could just imagine, this jailer roughing them up, get in there. And, he's probably yelling at them obscenities and everything else. And the Apostle Paul probably, I just wonder if he didn't make eye contact with them and he saw him and he said, there's the man in my vision. And maybe he elbowed over to Silas and he said, it's the guy. That's the guy. And I don't know. Again, that's in the book of Jason. You never know. But I think that I want to go and ask the Apostle Paul, did you ever see that man that you saw in your vision? Did you ever actually see him? Did he get saved? The Lord knows how to work. And we need to learn to love people. We need to learn to be flexible. Give our expectations to the Lord. We need to learn to wait for God to open their hearts. Amen. Don't rush things. There is nothing wrong with building relationships with people. God is merciful. Don't try to shove it down their throat. Don't try to force them into a quick confession. Don't do that. Don't confuse them. Let God work. And just love them. Love them with the love of Jesus Christ. That once God does that work in their hearts, you'll see the change. Amen. They'll never be the same because they have the Lord in their hearts. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the command that you have given us, Lord. And I pray that you would help us to remember that tonight. That is all of our responsibility. And one day we're going to stand before you and give an account. What did we do with the time that you gave to us? What did we do with what you have given to us? Lord, I don't want to be ashamed when I stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to love those around us. Help us to take the time, though they may not physically or visibly show us that they're appreciative, help us to love them anyway. And Lord, help us to remember that we didn't deserve it anymore. We were lost in our sins. As Paul told the Corinthians, such were some of you, but ye are washed. Help us to remember that the only thing good in us is your Son. Lord, help us to be what you want us to be in this dark world, to shine as lights. I thank you, Father, for the opportunities you've given us. Help us to go looking for them and trusting you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.